I'm Lauren.
And I'm Ashley. And this, guys, is Nip Tuck Pod.
We are your girl chat. We say the things you want to hear, the things that you're thinking but you don't want to say out loud. And we're all about being strong, aspirational women who basically don't give a...
Lauren, anyway, if you want unfiltered chat, amazing beauty and product recommendations, then look no further, guys. This is the podcast where you will get all of the girly chat.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to part two of Vicky Patterson's Secret 2. Well, just when I ran for a toilet there, my sister was messaging us about Maeve, my little niece, and she's saying, like, she misses us and that. I've just only left. She's crackers. But I was saying, oh, I've got Belle Hassan on the podcast today. Like, what's the crack? Do you want us to ask her anything? And she said, oh, I really like her. And I said, yeah, she's class. And she went, ask her what it's like to have a proper lush da. So... I just need to obviously ask you that for Laura because she's generally concerned, but also I've got to ask what, like, come on, what is it like? What is it like having a dad?
Even from like being really young at school, all my mates have always fancied my dad.
Yeah,
like they bypassed my brother straight to my dad, and my brother's a good-looking guy, right?
No, to be fair, your brother is he going out with that girl from X on the Beach still?
Yeah, he's still with Harriet. They got two kids.
Yeah, they are a. Gorgeous couple, their minds. Like, credit with credit to those kids won the genetic lottery. You're just a good looking family, aren't you?
Thanks.
Yeah,
I mean, you do try. I'm the runt of the litter, to be
no,
fair.
No, stop it. But then those gorgeous Turkish Cypriot jeans, like, I don't really think you have to try. I always say I absolutely hope my kids get Erkan's hair and skin because she's just lush.
Yeah.
You're lush.
Is the best. My nan has the best skin you've ever seen. Like incredible.
But that's good to know because that's good genetics for when you're older, isn't it?
Oh yeah, 100%. I mean, her tits are still up here, so she's absolutely winning at life. Like winning at life. Incredible tits.
Did not
say. My dad would kill me for saying that.
So okay, we can cut it out. I'm not having time with Sam. Come for me. Jesus Christ, I've seen his films. I'm not talking about his mass tits.
No, he'll be all right. He knows. He probably knows anyway. It's all right. Don't worry about it. This is just getting worse. But yeah, But no, everyone's always fancied my dad from people I've met after Love Island, all through school. Yeah. I remember meeting Gemma Collins and she was like, I fucking love him. Like, I love him. And I felt like she's always, every time I see her, she's like, how's dad? How is he? I love your dad. I love you guys. So yeah, I love her. She, everyone fancies him. It just is what it is.
I think like, not only is it, do you know he was one of the first celebrities I ever met, Belle?
Oh, really?
Yeah, and he will never remember this because he meets millions of famous people all the time. And, like, I was not famous at the time. I was just, like, one series into Geordie Shore and nobody knew who I was.
Because Geordie Shore was his favourite programme ever. Like, he used to... That was, like, his guilty pleasure, that and Big Brother, yeah. So he will remember.
Well, we were in... Can you remember the hotel, the Soho... The Sanctum in Soho?
Yeah.
I don't know if it's even still there. And he was there having, like, lunch or a business meeting or something. And, like, it was... I was there to meet an agent or a journalist or something and, like, obviously was just so excited. And whoever I was with knew him. And he was, like, chatting to them. And he said hello to us. And honestly, mate, like... I lost me shit. I think we had like a Geordie Shore group chat at the time, and there was like me and someone else. Then like, you're not gonna believe it. We've just met. Like, we absolutely thought we'd made it. Like, does a lot of people have that reaction? Because his films are so iconic. Like, he himself is so recognizable. Like, I can't decide if it would be really exciting for him to be your dad, or if sometimes you'd always feel like you're in his shadow.
Do you know what? I've never actually felt like I'm in his shadow. I think more so because I'm a girl.
Yeah.
You don't really get that. I think my brother's definitely struggled with that growing up and things like feeling like people always put him in like my dad's shadow. But for me, I've never really felt like that because I'll just movie shadow, clean out the way and step in front. You know, that's what I do. That's the way
my time to shine, bitch.
Yeah, I'm like, move aside. He actually said to me when I came out of Love Island, he was like, I've done all of these films. He was like, I've worked my ass off for 30 years. And he went, you do a month on a reality show and now I'm known as Bel Hassan from Love Island's dad. He was like, what a fucking piss taker. And I was like, that's, move over, sweetheart. It's my time. All right. Move over. So we always have banter about that. But yeah, I never really felt like that. I mean, it's amazing. Like, I think as a kid, I really struggled with him like always being recognized because he'd be away filming and I just wanted to spend time with my dad and we'd go shopping or do something together. And it was always like, oh, can we have a photo? 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 Oh, I just want to. And I'm like, go away. I just want my dad. Leave us alone.
And as a kid, like, you don't really understand, do you? Like, you're just, and I'm not saying I'm, like, your dad's level or whatever, but when me and Maeve are out together, like, she, and somebody asks for a picture, she doesn't understand. She just stands and smiles in the picture. She's so cute. She's like, me too. I feel like kids don't really get it, but it must be so lovely. Like, there must be good things and bad things because obviously your dad's a legend, but in films, he's well known for playing like a hard man. And I think he does it so well, Belle, that I actually believe he's a hard man in real life. Like, I'm just like, yeah, he's absolutely a gangster. That's Tamer Hassan. He's hard as fuck. So what boy's a bit scared of him?
When I was growing up, yeah, I do think it was kind of like I'd be chatting to a guy. Like, remember when BBM was a thing? I'd have
pin. Oh, sorry. It's so tragic. So, I absolutely do remember it. Yeah.
So I'd be chatting to a guy and then they'd be like, oh, what do your mum and dad do for work? And I'd be like, oh, my dad's an actor. And it was like, as soon as it clicked the surname actor, I'd be like, oh, and they'd be like, oh, swiftly gone. They'd either be so invested in it or they'd be like, fuck that. So yes, but he's a big softie, but he, to anyone that's not me, maybe not so much, but you know.
But I suppose like either of those reactions is a bit of a red flag, mate. Like, you don't want some, like, I get it. Like, if your dad was as spicy as the character as he played, like, I would be a little bit scared as well. But obviously you have to, he could still be a tough man, but he's not, you know, massive drug lord. Yeah.
Well, you never know what he gets up to in his spare time. I'm fully joking.
Mysterious man.
He's a very mysterious man, you know, who knows what he does.
But I mean, like, you don't want someone who's going to be scared of your dad. You want someone who's going to be like able to stand up for himself and strong and like has their own thoughts and opinions and stuff, their own man. But also at the same time, you don't want a fucking fanboy either, do you, mate?
No. No one wants that.
Have you ever had that? Definitely. Has anyone ever managed to fly under the radar acting like, oh no, I just really like you, Belle, and then all of a sudden you've discovered they've got fucking Tamer Hassan pajamas and that.
Yeah. I remember I was with someone and we were probably together about a year at this point and he kind of played it like he didn't really know too much of the films and that sort of stuff.
No, so it was
And I remember we were looking at for a DVD, he had like this big shelf and it was every single film and I was like, are you a secret fan? And he was like, no, there must be my dad's or my brother's or saying. And I was like, okay. I was like, it's fine if you are.
Yeah.
But, you know.
It's like an absolute compliment, but I think the trick there is in the transparency. Like, if you know, you'd be lying if you said you hadn't heard of your dad. So I think it's fine to be like, oh my God, is that your dad? His films are wicked. Like, I grew up watching them. That's okay. I think the hiding them, mate, like, you've got to think to yourself, oh, my little light's just gone off. God damn it. Yeah, I think the hiding them's definitely a bit shifty.
Yeah, I think as well, it kind of just how that whole situation played out as well. He ended up cheating on me, lying about the whole thing. So the liars were just, all the constant red flags were there. They were just constantly used to lie all the time. So really, at that point, I should have gone, you fucking liar, fuck off, do one. But I didn't.
That's it. But then, you know, honestly, mate, like, you're the same as me. Like, I've learned over time, like, if somebody lies about a little thing, we'll lie about anything. And you need to just, like, nip it in the bud straight away. But back in the day, like, I used to just be like, oh, you know, it was just, like, what time you got in, it doesn't really matter. And, like, before you know it, fuck, now spiral totally out of control. But that just comes with age and setting boundaries. Okay, so he plays a massive hard man in films. Is he a big softie in real life? Are you his little girl? I get the impression, like, the dynamic between you two is so lovely and he's so protective.
Yeah, I mean, I am daddy's princess and it's fully known. And I don't care. And I'm shameless about it. I don't care. But the thing is with my dad, he's always been like my best friend, but he's also there for me if ever I need him. Like, I could ring my dad, cry my eyes out about boy drama. Like, he wants to know all the gossip of my mate.
Wants the tea.
He's like, so who's sleeping with who? He's like, what slut? How dare she? And I'm like, Dad! And he's like, no. He was like, well, you know what? She's single. She's having her fun. Loves a bit of cop. Fuck it. Good for her. You know, that is my dad. So the girls will sit down with my dad as well and have like full gossip discussions about their boyfriend. So he's always been like a best friend to me. But I think definitely at times when I've maybe needed it, maybe not so much needed it, he's not afraid to like pull me into line and, you know, keep me right and protect me from any sort of situation. He is like, I mean, God forbid any man that puts his hands on me, because my dad will be doing a life sentence.
No, I dread to think of it, mate. And like, it's not just your dad either as well, because he's made films with some of like the, I would say, you know, like British cinema's most notorious hard men and things as well, hasn't he? So I feel like you'd have to be pretty stupid as a bloke to mess you around.
Yeah, I mean, it's never stopped them before, but
men are, I was just gonna say, like, men are pretty stupid for the most part, bless them, aren't they? Fucking hell.
Before
you went in Love Island, did, because obviously you've grown up around Danny Dyer, Big Danny, did little Danny give you any advice?
Do you know what? When we were younger, we did a few things together and I met her quite a lot when we were younger. And obviously when my dad and Danny were closer, but I didn't actually talk to her much as we got older. So I didn't even think to like reach out and be like, oh, I'm going in or anything. I actually didn't even think. I'm sure if I did, she would have, but I didn't even think. My head's up my ass 90% of the time anyway. So I didn't even think, but she is lovely. Like, really, really nice girl.
As well, like, it's your own journey, isn't it? Like, I think even if Danny had gave you advice, you were going to do it your own way. I'm getting that impression. You're pretty much yourself. So
definitely.
Is it true, mate, that the producers would ring your dad and give him a heads up about episodes not to watch and stuff? It is true.
Yeah. When we did the lap dance challenge, they called my dad and they were like, you're right. And he was like, yeah, I'm just driving. He was on a car rally at the time. And she said, oh, we're just giving you like a heads up, like tonight's a lap dance challenge, so we probably suggest that you don't watch. It's nothing like that. Like, she did really well, like, it's fine, but we're just giving you the heads up, probably don't watch this one or stay.
She was a brilliant lap dancer.
She was fucking great. I'm surprised she's not a stripper.
Make a clap, you know, no hands.
Yeah. I was just about to get up and start shaking it then, but you know what? I'll save it. I haven't got my good leggings on, you know. These ones keep everything tight. There's no wobble going on today.
I'm sure it all looks great, mate. But I don't want to have to ring your dad and tell him not to listen to this podcast as well.
No, you know, that's it. But he actually watched the episode and he was like, I just see you walk out. And he went, I just felt really proud of you. And I was like, didn't expect that reaction. But he went, you just look so beautiful and you're just my little princess. And you just was like doing your thing. And I went, I don't know whether I'm weirded out that you've had to watch me do that or like really like touched that you're proud of me for being a hoe. I don't know. Very weird feeling for me.
I think when it's a dad, like, and a daughter, like, I don't know, you just get like a rose tinted glasses over some stuff, you know, and like, it's not like, I don't know, you know, mate, you're on one of the biggest TV shows in the country, Belle. Do you know what I mean? Like, he's going to be proud of you, you know, being yourself and holding your own. And yeah, I can say that. Yeah, I can definitely say that. Growing up, obviously, your dad was super recognizable, very famous. But he also, like, you also got a little role in one of the films, didn't you?
Yeah, I've done a couple of little bits with my dad. Yeah, he kind of always wanted to push me towards it and doing that stuff because I really enjoyed it. So yeah, I did a little bit when I was young.
And how did that, I suppose, how did that affect you? Like, did it ignite something in you, make you want to pursue a career within like the media, performing arts, like acting or whatever? Or did it have an adverse effect? Did you realise it wasn't for you?
I think for me, it was like, I always was like, I want to be an actress. I really want to do that. I loved it. I always loved doing different accents and doing different characters. And I was always doing it around the house. And it got to the point where I watched my brother's football career and he did so well. Everything really good, like climbing and doing really well, played a really professional, like good professional level. And then he got injured and it was all taken away from him.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know what? He's put his whole life in so-and-so. And seeing how that affected him, I was like, you know what? I'm going to go and get something behind me. And then if I want to do acting after that, I'll do it. So that's where I fell into makeup. And I was like, once I've got a really great career in this and I was booked up and busy every week, I was like, then I can take the time. And if I want to go into it and do it as a hobby, I'd rather do that. So yeah, I mean, listen, for me, acting is always something that I'd love to do, like as a hobby, but I think full-time doing it is just like it's like knockback after knockback. Yeah. And even seeing that in my dad's career, like, it's so hard. It must be like,
it takes a really, yeah, you've got to be made of tough stuff, mate. Like that constant rejection and the grind. Like, I don't think I could, like, even in my, like, you know, my little industry, like, I'll get put up for a job and find out I didn't get it. And then I'll say, like, I don't know, Adam Thomas got it or whatever, or Scarlett Moffat. And I'll be like, I love these people, but you feel sad. You're like, why are they better than me? Like, it's yeah, hard. It's a really, I suppose, difficult. Rejection's just a difficult thing to take, whatever industry you're in, but it's prolific within the showbiz one, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, definitely. And I think it was even like my brother, once he started doing the, after the football, my dad was like, right, do you want to get into acting? Because he's a great actor as well. And he got down to the last two for Aladdin. And they went with someone else and he was just devastated. Yeah. I remember filming all his self-tapes for him singing and I was like, I can't keep a straight face because obviously it's my brother.
But I would have so... Obviously, I watched it anyway. I'm a Disney adult, clearly. But I would have so watched that with him. And do you know the lad who's done it is really ungrateful about it. He's constantly talking about how he's got no money and nobody wants to work with him since he's been in Disney and stuff. I don't feel like Tase. I would have done that at all.
No, definitely not. But I think that's the thing with acting, and I've definitely seen that from my dad's career. You know, he'll make loads of money and then he won't work for 2 years. So I think that was another reason why with acting, I was like, I just don't know if I could mentally deal with that because yeah, it must be such a hard thing to deal with.
There's no real security, is there?
No.
And like, you know, it's really hard. Yeah, I think you've been really smart, babe, to have something that was like a foundation, security, so you're not feeling like that. And like, yeah, right, if you ever wanted to dip your toe in, I'm sure your dad would help.
Yeah, of course. There's like been a few film offers. I had a couple before COVID and then obviously that comes, so he didn't do it. But the producer of that film always keeps in touch. He's like, we still want to do something with you. So when the next ones are like about, and I'm like, you know, with my ex, his sister was a director and she used to ask me to help her with the short films and stuff. So I still do it, yeah, but now it's more just fun. And if something comes of it, amazing. Like if I end up getting something great, fantastic. If I don't, I still make my money. I still do what I do and I'm still happy. I'm very like go with the flow. Like if I get this, I'm happy. If I don't, wasn't meant for me.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
What would be your dream role? Like, have you got something in mind where you just think, I could be so great in that?
Do you know what? I always think either something like really emotional.
Yeah.
Or something fun, like, you know, like the Sex Education series.
Yeah, they're amazing. Like, that would be great. Yeah.
Yeah. Or like Bridgerton. I'd love to do that, even though, like, can you imagine me going in with my full contour and fucking, that wouldn't really work. But we'll dial it down.
I could see you, and like, I don't know if I'm just playing at the stereotypes, yeah, but I could see you really be like, you know, this Griselda that's out now with Sofia Vergara from Modern Family. She was like a tough woman, like ran the drug trade in Miami and things. Like, she's a bad bitch.
I
could see you being like a real, like, yeah, female gangster vibe, like proper strong confidence. Yes, I could see you doing something like that.
I'd love that. You know what? I'd never say no. So I'd love it.
Watch this space. I'm going to like segue into something slightly more serious and emotional, and I hope that's okay.
Yeah.
But
you've
opened up about having like an identity crisis between the ages of 13 and 19. And it led you to, I suppose, some quite dark places, Belle, and in particular, yeah, self-harm. I think it's, first of all, can I just say, really brave that you use your platform to talk about these things, because I don't know, there's not enough honesty in sunlight around surrounding stuff like that. So first of all, like, well done, mate. But secondly, like, what made you want to do it? What made you want to open up? Is it to help others, to use your platform for good? Or did you just feel like you couldn't keep the secret anymore?
Do you know what it was for me? I think that when I was going through that, I kind of had this thing in the back of my head, everyone's going to judge me, everyone's going to judge me, everyone's going to judge me. And I remember doing like the psych test for Love Island. I was like, I'm not going to tell them because I know that it will hinder a chance. And I want that platform to be able to show other people, look, you can, like, I think with self-harm, people like, oh, one thing goes wrong, they're a nutter, they're slicing at their wrists and all that. It's not, that's not the case. And I really wanted to make a point of that. Even if everything goes wrong, I can still be stable in my mind because I'm past that. And I think, you know, like other people that I've helped and that have reached out to me, they're like, everyone always thinks that I'm like a nutter, and I'm genuinely not. It's a battle between me and me. So I just always wanted to help young kids with what I was going through. There was no, like, there was no one I could look up to and be like, oh, well, she's been through it and she's all right, so I can get through it. Or he's been through it and he's done really well. And I think it was always that thing of like, if I've been through this, I can't be successful. And if anything, it's the complete opposite, because, you know, in being in them dark times, I really hated myself. Like, I really, really fucking hated myself. And I was always so judgmental on myself and always was petrified that people would think I'm a bad person. Even when, like, my mum and dad found out about it, I felt guilty, not because of what I was doing, but it was more because I was like, oh my God, they're going to think that they've done a bad job, and they haven't. Like, I cannot stress enough that when you're going through that self-harm thing, it is no one else. It is a battle between you and yourself. So, yeah, I just, yeah, it was a hard, hard time, but I feel like it's definitely made me a lot stronger and more confident in myself, having gone through that and come out the other side.
So, honestly, I just feel like you're so resilient. It is, and also, like, it's inspirational that you've come out the other side and now want to talk about it and help others. I think representation, you know, is in the media, on social media, whatever it is, on TV shows, is so important. And you're showing young people who potentially are struggling with their mental health or going through a particularly dark and difficult time that there is light at the end of the tunnel. I think that's, I don't think you understand how incredible that is.
Yeah, I did a podcast with my dad, like, when I first came out of Love Island, and actually that was the first time I spoke about it. And he got quite emotional, and I don't really see that side of my dad all the time. So that was hard to see. And I had a lot of parents.
That's because he's hard as fuck.
Yeah, so it was like, I had a lot of parents actually reach out to me, and they were like, my kid's really struggling with it. What do I do as a parent? What can I do? And I think the thing is that I started doing lives every Monday for a period of time, and we created a community, and those people felt like they could talk to me about their problems. And there was a few people on that, and they were like, look, I'm struggling. And I think the main thing that came from it was, and that I say to everyone, when you're not telling anyone and you're keeping it to yourself, you don't have to justify anything. Everything sounds right when you're telling yourself.
Yeah.
So when you actually physicalize the problem and you talk it out to someone, you're like, oh, actually, that's not a big deal. And why am I doing this? What am I doing? Why am I punishing myself because they're a cunt? Sorry, am I allowed to say that word? I've said it.
I've definitely said it already. Don't worry about it, babe. Yeah. Don't worry. You'll get someone whinging in the reviews, but someone always whinges.
Oh, I don't get it. Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah, fuck it. No, fuck mate, it. Well done. Well done, you. Like, I don't know. I feel like you're really brave. I hope you know that. I'm sure you've been told a million times.
Yeah, no, I just think for me, it's like, just putting it out there, if I can help one person, I've done my job. So yeah. The fact that I've helped loads of people and parents deal with it, obviously I'm not a therapist, I'm not a doctor, I can only tell you through my own experience and dealing with that. And people are like, you know, how do you deal with socials and people having negative comments? And I'm like, because I've been through that, anything anyone else says to me can't be no worse than what I used to say to myself.
Yeah, of course.
So, you know, like, I'm ready for it. I'm all right with it. So I think for me, it built that self-confidence and that foundation of, like, you know, you got to love yourself, because if you don't, everything starts with you loving you.
Yeah.
And you just move on from that, you know, like you kind of get through it. And I always say to people, I know right now you don't see an end to it, but it will. And when you get there, it's such a beautiful thing. Like, really, like, I cannot even express to you enough, if anyone's going through it, like, when you get to the end of that, like, just keep holding on for that end goal, because you will get there.
And for anyone who is struggling with, you know, self-doubt, confidence, dark thoughts, mental health, self-harm, and anything that we've discussed, what would be your advice? What helped you?
I think for me, what helped me was just talking about it openly, because then it wasn't just me having to deal with me. I had to, you know, think about my parents and my friends that knew and things like that. And, I didn't want to upset them. And I think as well, like, you just have to find a positive every day. So when you wake up, instead of thinking like, oh, I hate this and I hate that and I feel bad or I feel this, like, think about three things that you're grateful for every morning when you wake up. Even if it's something little, like, I've hoovered the floor yesterday and it looks nice. Like, I like the little pattern of the hoover on the floor, you know, like, anything, whatever it is, whether, like, you know, a lot of days I wake up and I'm like, I'm just grateful for my dogs, that I can have a cuddle with my dogs, and that's it. Like, or the sun shining, or I've woken up alive today. Like, you know, whatever it is, it could be the simple things. And it's just, I think finding that happy place, you just have to really put that effort into your mindset and that gratitude thing, because it's so easy to focus on those negatives, especially when they're being shoved in your face at that period of time. And just understanding that life comes in like free. So it's called the rule of thirds. I read a lot about it, and it was like, 1 minute you'll feel absolutely amazing and everything's great, and then you'll kind of slope into feeling like, I'm all right at the moment and everything's going okay. Just know after that, something will be really, really
you're gonna get walloped.
So something will be really, really shit, and then straight after that you're going to be really, really great. Have to understand that through these bad times, they're only temporary.
I think the being the like practicing gratitude, I think that's really important. Like, yeah, about 10 years ago, mate, I was in a terrible place. And I felt like, you know, nothing was going right. Couldn't see a way out, hated my job, hated like what I was becoming, but felt really trapped. Sort of like a vicious cycle thing. And actually, like, I started going to therapy. I got a life coach. I started exercising more. I drank less. I surrounded myself with people who made us really happy. You know, I did all the work. And since then, like, I always say, like, I was miserable and angry, but when I started to challenge that mindset and, you know, and be kinder to others and be kinder to myself, and more good things started happening, more happiness got let in my life, and it became easier to do so over time. And it isn't easy to initially start, you know, trying to be a better person, trying to be happier, trying to love yourself and all those things, but it really is true. Like, the more grateful, the kinder and the more positive you are, the better things happen, the easier life is.
Yeah. And I also think as well, like, everyone's always like, I just get up and get on with it. Like, you know what? It's actually all right to just have a day where you're like, no, I'm not doing it. I don't want to do it. I want to feel like shit all day so that I can just get it out of my system and tomorrow's a new day. If that takes you 1 day, 2 days or a week, take that time to yourself and just sit. Think about what makes you happy. Think about what's not making you happy. Because I think sometimes you don't actually want to think about it.
Yeah, it's like burying your head in the sand, isn't it? Like, avoidance. And when something's hurting you, or like you don't like you, say for example, you know your fella's not right for you, or you don't like your job, it's so much easier to bury your head in the sand and compartmentalize rather than have the big messy breakup and start all over again finding someone new or retraining in a different space. Like, it's so hard, it feels hard, it feels like a load of effort. So you bury your head in the sand. I think that's natural. I've done that quite a few times.
Yeah, I definitely have. But I think now I'm more aware of it. And I think as well, moving past that piece of like self-harming and that kind of dark period in my life, I'm like, self-awareness is one thing that's really, really helped me. So I'm always accountable for things. If I could have done something better, I'll sit and self-reflect, like, that could have been better. But I also did that was great. Okay, we can move forward in this way and we can move forward that way, or, you know, next time don't do this, or next time that was great, carry on doing that, keep going. So I think self-reflection is also a massive thing, because it's like, when you're asking yourself, why am I doing this? You're then forced to answer it.
Yeah.
So it's always asking your question.
Hold yourself accountable.
Yeah, 100%. And I remember sitting there and I was like, why am I doing, it's the middle of summer and I'm wearing a long sleeve. I don't want to fucking do this anymore. Mm. What am I doing? You know, so I think holding myself accountable, and then it forced me to be like, okay, well, look, this isn't right. That's not right. You're going for the wrong type of men that's putting you in this sort of situation. You're not talking, like, the way I talk to myself, I was like, what are you doing? Like, I wouldn't talk to my mate like that. I wouldn't talk to my mum like that. Why am I doing it to myself? You know? So yeah, I just think you just got to keep moving forward, self-reflecting, and I think you'll get there. Everyone gets there in the end.
That's lovely advice, mate. I don't really want to end on this note, because I feel like we've had such a lovely time, but even though it was very inspirational, I feel like she'll end on something really nice. She'll ask you what the future holds for Belle, because I'm excited to know that as well.
Oh God, what does the future hold for me? I don't know. I wing every day as it comes. So hopefully, do you know what? I'd love to have a makeup brand. So career-wise, I think that's where I'm going towards. Mm-hmm. Hopefully I'll have a kid soon. Not soon. That was wrong. Not soon. A couple of years, maybe. I don't know. Hopefully I'll have a kid and get married and everything.
The panic. The panic. Yeah. The 180 soon. That you just did there.
I was like, soon. No, maybe. I don't know.
Oh, honestly, but, mate, I get it. I was at my niece's, like, four-year-old. She's 4-year-old. I was at a birthday party on Saturday, and I was, like, standing there just watching them all run around and scream and everything. And I was like, must remember to take my contraceptive pill today. Like, there's nothing fucking reminds you, mate, like, screaming kids. So, yeah. I've got a couple of years on you. I must get a wriggle on. I'm excited for everything the future holds for you, Belle. And honestly, I just wish you the best, mate.
Thank you. You too.
You're so welcome. Before I let you go here at Fitty Pass and The Secret 2, we always ask our gorgeous guests to give our lovely listeners a couple of pearls of wisdom. I feel like I've listened to you talk about everything you've been through, how much you've grown, how much you've... What seems to be a real defining thing in your life is you don't dwell on stuff, you don't feel sorry for yourself, you take action, you keep pushing, you know, whether that's in your career, in your personal life, wherever, to be better, to be happy. And I think that's really inspirational, but I also think people can learn a lot from that. So I wanted to know what your secret was to keeping moving.
So I think the secret to, like, moving forward is just always trying to look for happiness out of anything. Money doesn't matter. Nothing really matters other than you being happy. So I think, yeah, like you said, picking yourself up, don't get into that mindset of feeling sorry for yourself. You know, always just keep pushing. If you need to have a week out and feel like shit, go
feel
do
your
that.
Feels. Absolutely.
Yeah. Always be in touch with yourself. Keep yourself accountable. And I think just go where you feel happy. Like, me moving to Scotland has made me so happy. I wasn't happy where I was. And I'm like, what's the solution? Get out of there. So, you know, if it wasn't here, it would have been somewhere else. I was always thinking about moving. So just go for it. Like, anything in life, people are going to judge you for. So just as long as you're happy, as long as what is important to you, you stick by, have your morals set, and just keep moving. You just always got to keep moving forward. Just pick yourself up onto the next.
I love that. I love that, mate. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. I've had a lovely time.
Thank you for having me.
Well, guys, that was the gorgeous Belle Hassan with her secret to keeping it moving. I found that episode really lovely. Loads of light, loads of laughs, and then some more, like, inspirational, quite insightful moments as well. What a gorgeous girl. Honestly, mate, I really try to keep me cool about her dad, but I was so excited. He's such a heartthrob. Maybe we should get him on as well. What do you guys think? Okay, now I'm off on a tangent. If you loved listening to this week's episode, give Belle a follow on Instagram if you're not already. And also, don't forget, we have plenty of episodes, some ones that you might have missed, in the Vicky Patterson The Secret 2 back catalogue. Everyone from Catherine Ryan to Eamon Holmes, Fern McCann to Pete Wicks. So give us a little listen if there's any of those you might have missed. And also, we are now on YouTube. So make sure you check that out too. Have a really great week, everybody. You deserve it.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.